Let us pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we come into thy presence in the name of Jesus, our Lord. We are grateful this special Sunday, O God, in which we have set aside one day during the year to celebrate motherhood. We are glad that you are the creator not only of a woman, but also the creator within that woman of the character of a mother. We thank you, Father. We thank you for those mothers who fear the Lord and raise us up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Father, we pray that across America, the emphasis will be today that the fear of God goes a long way in our life. Father, we pray for our members. Some of them are sick. Some of them are in vacation. And certainly, we pray that you may bless them and touch them in a very special way. Whatever their needs are, that you may be able to reach them and encourage them so that they may see the hand of a mighty God. Father, our country is in need of mercy. We see these tremendous devastations in Oklahoma and in other states. And Father, we pray for mercy that you may spare us and that you may give us a calm and peaceful way. We never have experienced as a nation a devastation so large. Just a touch of God get us so concerned. Father, we pray that the people may know that there is a way to reach you and there is a way of reconciliation with you through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that many pastors across America may emphasize the bridge that we have, the great priest, high priest that we have, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that many may reach him. And as a result of that, the Holy Spirit may work and change our lives. Father, we are grateful for the ministries of our church, and we pray that you bless each one of them, and that you encourage every Sunday school teacher and every young people teacher, and in every activity of the church, you may give the leaders encouragement because the work of the Lord is not in vain. Thank you, Father, for that. Lord, we pray for our service, that as we worship you today in spirit and in truth, we may in reality see the value of believing in God. What difference does it make? Father, later on when we go to Pacific Hill, we pray that you may bless the second service there, that many will come and receive thy word with gladness. And then, Father, when the choir practice, and then when the children meet together this afternoon, and then when we close the day with the evening service and that beautiful and remarkable closing of Matthew 7, Father, we pray that during this day, we, the people of God, may enjoy a day set aside to glorify you and worship you. Father, on behalf of my wife and myself, we are so grateful for Bethel Baptist Church and for the people who were so concerned about us. They gave us a break, and we enjoyed last week from Thursday to Saturday in the Monterey Peninsula, all taken care by our church. How grateful we are. Lord, even the phone broke down and I cannot get emergency calls. I was just alone with my wife, and I confess to you, Lord, I don't know what to do at the beginning. I don't know what to do with myself, but how grateful that we walked through the beauty of that rocky beach, and we walked through the beauty of seeing those trees touched by you, Father, and then we saw the life need to be set up in a different way, not in a rolling activity, but in a way that pleases you too, even ourselves. Thank you, Father, for the good members of this church and for the good character that protect us in a remarkable way. And now, Lord, as we worship you, we bring this offering to you because it's with love that we care, and it's by giving that we demonstrate that we love you. So receive this offering and bless the giver in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. My friends, this is Pastor Otero speaking at the moment of the offertory. I just want to mention to you, in case that you are not aware of, that there is an opportunity in our church to come and be blessed as you come. Highway 101 is very easy to find. Our church is right at the corner of Highway 101 in Tenon Avenue. So please, one of those days, you who listen in the peninsula could come and join with us and enjoy the fellowship and the warm fellowship of our members. We're going to give you the church office phone number in case that we can be an assistant to you. And that will be 778-2595. And my office will be 779-2300. We love to share with you the Word of God and the counsel of Word and encourage you from His Word. So please make use of this phone number as you please. May God bless you as you keep on listening. May this Mother's Day be a blessing to you, and I send greetings to all the mothers across our peninsula, that they may be blessed by the presence of God and the touch of God and the love of their children. May God bless you. Let's join the service in progress.
Surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race not only for the prize, but as those who've gone before us, let us lead to those behind us. The heritage of faithfulness passed on through godly love. The road we each must find.
ask you now to take your Bibles and turn to the Epistle of Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. If you don't have a Bible, there's a Bible provided for you in the pew, and you will find today's reading in that Bible on page 879. We ask that you would please stand for the reading of God's Word. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verses 1 through 5. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, and without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfagin faith that is in thee, which dwelleth first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and am persuaded that in thee also. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Almighty Father, blessed is thy holy name, and we praise and worship thee, Almighty God, because of thy mercy upon our souls through the sacrifice of thy Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thy word reveals today, Almighty God, as Paul quotes unto Timothy to remember the unfagin love that his mother and grandmother had for you, and in that love that you had bestowed upon them, they relayed the word of God unto him. As we pray for all mothers, O Lord, that are under thy mercy and grace, that they do the same, raising their children under the nurturing of thy word and thy grace and mercy in their lives. We pray, O Lord God, for thy servant, our pastor Gabriel Otero, as he proclaims the gospel today into the people, that you will instill many more mothers and fathers to live the life that you have called them to be, children of God, and that as the gospel goes out, you will call more of thy children into thy kingdom for your glory. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, my brother. And I'm just going to say a few words so that if another member of another church is listening, they can do the same thing for their pastor, to encourage them to do so. Raquel and I are extremely grateful to you, extremely grateful for what I was in need of, and I did not recognize it. Sometimes we have a need, and when you are looking into yourself, you don't see the way out. But I was extremely exhausted. And Raquel convinced me to accept the gift. At the beginning, I was so convinced that I should return the gift to the church because it was too expensive. And she said, this is not the men of the church, the families of the church has given to you. It's nothing that they took from the Lord. You must accept it. And so she convinced me. And I was able to work around the clock Monday and Tuesday, because if I wanted to take 2 days off, that means I had to work 2 days without stop. So Mondays and Tuesdays, I prepare everything I need to be done. As you know, I'm due to 12 sermons a week on the radio and 3 here on the church. So that's a lot of, I told Raquel, every Sunday is an exam for me. I had to be in front of the people, tell them. But the Lord gave me a lot of courage. Raquel, stay with me right there by the office so that I can keep on going in my portable computer and typing and writing. And so Thursday came along, and we took off very early and went, and we made the last call right here. We were passing San Martin. We made the last call from my portable phone, and she said, why you take the emergency call? I said, well, somebody is going to call, and it certainly was. Mr. Camping called me at about 12 noon, but the Lord did something, clocked the phone up as passing Gilroy and went off the service. And for the whole 3 days, I thought, well, something is wrong with my phone. No, when I came back, as we approached Gilroy, I hear the beep, and the phone came back again. And so we were completely, and I make calls. My phone is a very sophisticated phone. It had no roaming charges. It's the radio use it, and they can call me to New York and call me to New Jersey. I can do anything I want to, but not that week. right there at Monterey. And I want to thank you because it was and now what I do, I don't have any emergency calls, somebody, a wife running away from the husband, a child, what I do now? My wife says, me. And then it was such a good, and you know, knowing that the very fancy place you prepare for us, we pack our suits and dress well, and we and I get used to it. My car was number 388 on the valet parking. I just push a button. I said 5 p.m. 3 p.m. And my table was right there on the corner of the Ocean's Eye, and we really enjoy it. By the second day, I was getting totally used to it. And by Saturday, you know, and we were, I thought the Americans will dress well in fine places. No wonder the French tell me the Americans don't know how to dress. No, everybody was casual. We're the only one in suits and things like that. And walking on the shopping over there in suit, right away you get attended. Right away people go focus on you. And so one of the finest places to eat is over there. And of course, expensive too. But it's just fantastic. And even the management came and took care of us and talked to us. That was a very remarkable. I cannot stop to think in all of you how grateful I am that I have a church that really cares. And I encourage anybody on the air to care for your pastor. We will do more for him in doing that than anything else in your life. Thank you, people. Thank you very much for rebuilding my energies. And I even one night, the first night, I went to bed about 3 o'clock, and I was just writing sermons on the table. And Raquel wake up and said, stop, throw away that pencil. So she threw away the pencil. I found a Bible right there, and you know, just opened my Bible and started writing things that came to my mind. I love to write, and it's just so beautiful. Thank you. Thank you again. Now let's focus ourselves on today, on that 2 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse 5. Here is a commendation of a man, one man, a professor, Paul, talking to his disciple Timothy. And I like the commendation because brings a record of the family, Timothy's family. Look at what Paul says. He says, let me read verse 4 because that gives you the idea. Greatly desiring to see thee, I'm really desire to see you, Timothy, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Now the man is writing from a jail, and he's in jail in Rome, and Timothy is the pastor in Ephesus in Greece. At this time, Timothy may be between 17 to 20. And he's the pastor of Paul's church. He said, I'd like to see you. Look at verse 5, the encouragement. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. In other words, he was a real guy. He really believed. Which dwell first in thy grandmothers. Grandmothers, how wonderful it is when you have the gospel in your heart. Look at the impact you can do on your grandchildren. And in thy mother Eunice. And I'm persuaded that in thee also. Do you see the importance of motherhood that I see here in these texts? Here's a grandmother who really believed the Lord. Doesn't say she was super intellectual. She knew all the doctrines of the Bible. Paul said, this grandmother really was not a fake. There's no mature goer and who knows what how the way she lives. She really believes with the whole heart. The Lord has saved her. And so the mother of Timothy. Now remember, Timothy is half Greek and half Palestinian, actually. And so this is a real miracle that God has touched these people in Europe at the very beginning of the gospel. And so I want to make emphasis today on the importance of a mother who knows the Lord. How important is for a mother to know the Lord? Learning about motherhood. I'm not going to teach you to cook because I don't know how to cook. My father told me a man never cooked, but he cooked for my mother. Saturday and Sunday was my father's turn to cook. And that's the deal they have. But he said, no, my brother knows how to cook, but I don't. I don't want to teach you how to sew or anything, but I want to leave with you today a word of encouragement, mothers, by comparing two mothers in the Bible. A word of encouragement to you. You who are a believer in Christ. And if you're not a believer in Christ, I want to encourage you to think about this. And if you're not a mother and you're a father, more than anything else, I want to encourage you to think in this. There are two mothers in the Bible that makes a real impact. And they're so apart from one another. And they left an example that, I tell you, it's just remarkable. So let me talk about the first mother. Right here in 1 Samuel. In chapter 1 of 1 Samuel, if you have a Bible like mine, it's 222, the page you find it, 222 in your Bible. 1 Samuel chapter 1. The name of this lady is Hannah. Now, for what I'm going to read for you and what we're going to see together, you're going to come to the conclusion that this lady, who is found in 1 Samuel chapter 1, page 222, if you have a Bible like I do have, and is in the pew, I'm using the same Bible you have there on the pew. This lady has a series of qualities, a series of characteristics of a mother who was a believer. And if you are there, then I go with you. I want you to see it in your Bible because it's remarkable. And then after this, I'd like to show you another mother. Athaliah, she was the mother of a king. And, of course, a mother produced what? A baby. And when it's a baby boy, the baby boy could be the president of a country. Like I wrote President Reagan. I said, I would like to know a little bit about your mother. Who was your mother to give that man such a character? All right? Always behind a man is the presence of a mother. And the Bible give a record of Athaliah and what she produced. And the Bible give us a record of Hannah and what she produced. Not just a physical baby, but the character of those babies as they grow up and they develop in life. Let's just study first Hannah. In verses 1 and 2, you see the first characteristic. She prayed for her son before her birth. I'm reading 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Thothim, of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroboam, and the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Thuth, an Ephratite. And he had two wives, and that's not standard, but that's what the Bible says. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now, let me read verse 10 and verse 11. Remember, Hannah had no children. So verse 10 and verse 11. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore because she had not a child. Verse 11. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of my life. And there shall no razor come upon his head. He will be a man dedicated to the Lord. So she prayed for her son, even though she knew that she had some difficulties, that she cannot bear a child. And she was the object of mockery from these other women. This man have two wives. It's not the practice of the Bible. This is something wrong. And you can see the mess there was in their home. Peninnah has children. This one have no children. And the two were rivals and have problems. And then she was in bitterness of heart. And rather than being against the Lord, rather than saying, Lord, why I'm involved in this? And maybe she was the gift of her father to this man because marriage, and still today in some of the of the people. You can see them in the Chaldean people. I have dealt with the Chaldean church long enough to counsel their members, as Pastor Ashland sent them here to this church to be counseled. And after a while talking, I said to the lady one day, were you a gift to this man? And she said, yes, I was a gift to this man, and I had to marry him. Here in America, oh yes, that's the law of my country. And that was the Bible. There was no courtship in the Bible. You never find courtship in the Bible. You find a father taking a woman, a child, a female, and call his friend and say, I give you my daughter to you, and they make arrangements. And that's what the Bible teaches. And so maybe she was the second wife to this man by that kind. And she have all the right to say, Lord, why you shut my wounds? Why? She never asked that. She never asked, why is my condition? She prayed. She said, Lord, if I ever have a baby, I tell you what I do. I give it back to you. Now, ladies, I want to tell you this. Don't promise anything to the Lord because he's serious about it. Look at what happened. Number two. When she prayed, remember in verse 10 and in verse 11, she was misunderstood. Look at verse 12 to 17. First Samuel chapter 1, verse 12 to 17. First, she prayed for her baby. Second, she was misunderstood. And you Christian mothers, always when you take the side of God, you will be misunderstood sometimes. And this lady was misunderstood by her pastor. Look at verse 12. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she is speaking her heart. You know when you speak and you just move your lips, but don't speak aloud, you move just your lips. And like speaking aloud, but just move your lips. That's what the way that Hannah prayed. And Eli, the priest, was watching and see this lady over there with a head down and moving her lips. And her voice was not hers, at verse 13. Therefore, Eli thought she had been drunken. She said, oh, this woman has a lot of wine on it. And look at what she's doing. Now, verse 14. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. Now, how can a pastor say that? How can he judge these women so rough? Right there. Verse 15, and Hannah answered and said, oh, get out of here, man. Look at what she said. Is she a godly woman? No, my Lord. She is accused of being drunken, and she never touched wine. And she said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunken neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thy handmaid for a daughter of Belial. That's a drunkard. A drunkard is a son of the devil. Wow. She knew about it. She said, count not, I'm not a son of the devil. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. And Eli answered and said, boy, the poor pastor, now he's in trouble. And he looked on it. We'll look at verse 17. And he said, go in peace, poor pastor. No, even apologize. And the God of Israel grant thee thy petition. Whoa, that's a big one. That's a big one. Now the priests, and remember at that time there were priests. And those priests were officially putting blessings on people, because that's the way that God worked with that time. Now the priest, the high priest of Israel, put the hands on her, and because she behaved so well, and because she yielded her life so beautifully to the Lord, he said, the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. No knowing, Eli did not know that she was praying. He thought, well, she's praying to have a baby. But not only to have a baby, she said, if I have a male baby, I give it back to God. Eli did not know, but he said, put the hands on it and said, be done. And when a priest do that in the Old Testament, it's going to be done. Well, she got what she prayed for. That's the next point. She prayed for her son before was born. She was misunderstood. Number three, she got what she prayed for. Look at it in verse 19 and in verse 20 of the same chapter. And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah. And the King James, the word to know is to have an intimate relationship between two people. And here is, he have an intimate relationship with his wife. And the Lord, see how babies are made? The Lord remember her. This is the way God made babies. He just touched the womb of the woman and the baby is conceived. It's still the same. He's in control. Verse 19 said, the Lord remember her. Verse 20, wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived. And remember, there were two periods of time for conception. 6 months in Exodus 1, 9 months later on. The Bible really, God controls even the period of conception and all this. God is in control. No doctors of medicine. God. Remarkable. Verse 20 said, wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about her after Hannah had conceived that she bare a son. And call his name Samuel. You know the word El at the end? The word El? What do you think that means? God. God. See? And look at here. Samuel saying, because I have asked of him of the Lord. A gift of God. Samuel. The peace of God. The peace of God to me. Remarkable. So God, she got what she prayed for. Ladies, when you pray and you pray with the entire heart, God's going to answer that prayer. She prayed, and she got what she prayed for. Now, the key is this. You have no child. Ladies, imagine this. You have no child. And the other women with your rivalry there have the children and so on. And now you got that baby. Maybe it's the only baby. Well, it's not the only baby. There were others born. But imagine if this is the only baby. And here's the only baby. Will you take that baby? After you win the baby out, maybe at the year, and you bring it to the Lord and say, it's yours, and take your hands off. Will you do that? Now, that's what she prayed for. Remember what she said? She said, Lord, if you give me the gift of a male child, I give it back to you. And that's what that means in the Hebrew. It means that from babyhood, you give it back to the priest, to be raised as a priest in the house of God. Would she do that? Well, let's see. Verse 21 to 27. Look at what happened. Chapter 1 of Samuel, verse 21. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. Now remember, this was not Jerusalem, the capital. Shiloh was. And the Lord has ordained that the people should worship in Shiloh. And so he went to Shiloh once a year. Verse 22, but Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. Wow! The heart is right. She said, when the baby maybe is 1 year, 1 year and 6 months, whatever, I bring it there, and I leave it there. Just tell the priest. Wow. Verse 23. And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, do what seems thee good. Ah, it's good when the husband understands his wife. Tarry until thou have weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. In other words, he's saying to the wife, what a nice counsel of a husband. He said, darling, you do what the Lord said. That's a nice counsel. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. Verse 24. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. Verse 25. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. Do you remember me, priest? Do you remember me, pastor? I'm the woman that came and prayed. Look at what I got. Can you imagine the joy of these women? The joy. And the joy of the pastor that he prayed and said, remember, may the God of Israel give that petition. All the things fulfilled. You know, when you tell the pastor, pastor, I pray for this, and or you ask me, pastor, pray for this, and I pray, I really appreciate it. If you got the answer, you tell me. It's not that I got a special power. It's just to rejoice and thank the Lord. It helped the pastor to know that God answered prayer. Even though we know mentally how wonderful it is when it comes in reality. And now look at verse 25. And they slew the bullock, verse 26. And she said, "Oh, my Lord, as thy soul liveth." And verse 27, "For this child I pray, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him." How many of you mothers can say, "Oh, I pray about this, about my child. I pray about this, and I pray about this, and God have answered." Mothers, I tell you this, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you know God through the Lord Jesus Christ, your prayers are not in vain. When you pray, one day you're going to say, "I pray about this, and the Lord give me the petition of my heart." When you pray the desires of the Lord. Now, next one. She saw her son growing before the Lord. Look at it in verse 26. In verse 26, and she said, "Oh, my Lord," excuse me, chapter 2 now, verse 21. And verse 26, she saw her son growing before the Lord. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters. I told you she had more children. And the child Samuel grew where? Before the Lord. He was in the house of God. He grew over there. Look at verse 26. And the child Samuel grew on. And was in favor, grace, both with the Lord and also with men. Here is a man who is very special now. Here is a man who is growing in a tremendous way. And he have upon him the grace of God upon his life. How that happened? That happened because a mother prayed. She saw her son ordained as a preacher, as a prophet, and as a judge. Go with me to chapter 7, and I show you verse 3 to 6. Chapter 7, verse 3 to 6. And Samuel, this is the boy that cannot be born, remember? These are the women that cannot have a baby, and now she have a baby. Chapter 7, verse 3. And Samuel is spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, "Ye do return unto the Lord with all your heart, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your heart unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the land of the Philistines." Verse 4, then the children of Israel did put away Baalim and Ashtaroth, and serve the Lord only. And Samuel said, "Gather all Israel to Mithpah, and I will pray for you to the Lord." Wow! And they gathered together to Mithpah, and drew water, and pour it out before the Lord, and fast on that day, said there, "We have sinned against the Lord." And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mithpah. And when the Philistine heard that the children of Israel were gathered together in Mithpah, the lords of the Philistine went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. Now, I tell you this. This man, remember what he was made? He was made a judge, a baby that cannot be born, an outlaw, a woman that cannot have baby. She have a baby, and the baby became the judge. That's why America, I got the idea of the Supreme Court. The judge is the one who controls the land. He will tell what God said. Imagine if we have a Supreme Court in the United States, that whatever the president wants to do or the Congress wants to do goes to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court take the Bible and say, "What do you want to say?" "Oh, no, that's not right." Boom, out. That's the idea of the Supreme Court. Amen. To fear the Lord. I'm preparing a sermon for July 4th. The American disaster. And the American disaster is that we have forgotten how we started. We started with this book, people, called the Bible. And still today, the people put their hands on the Bible. For what? I ask myself. I tell you, this is remarkable. Here is Samuel.
And Samuel said to Israel, this is what the Lord said, this is what you do. And the people do what God said and they get victorious. She saw a man who found grace before the Lord. There is a psalm that speaks about this, Psalm 99 verse 6, speaks about Samuel in the Bible. Psalm 99 in verse 6. That will be on page 466 in your Bible. 467 in your Bible. Look at what the Bible says. In verse 6, Moses and Aaron among his priests, and Samuel among them that call upon his name, they call upon the Lord. And what? And he answered them. Boy, this man was a prophet. He called upon the Lord, Moses, Aaron. And what's the next person the Bible put together as people who God answered? Samuel. Now, mothers, I want to tell you this before I bring the ugly one. I want to tell you this. This made me cry. You may be disappointed that the Lord have no answer your prayers. Don't feel sorry if you are disappointed. I don't put you down for that. I hope I'm not like Elkanah who looked to a woman disappointed and said, oh, she is wrong. No. Listen, the Lord answered prayer according to his timing. The Lord answered prayer according to his will. And if you ask something for your children who is godly, God give you the desires of your heart. Don't give up. Your prayers are not in vain. Here's a woman who has an impossible thing, not even a child. And then the child is born, and the boy grew up in the house of the Lord, and he becomes the key man in all Israel. You know who Samuel ordained as king, who became a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know that. You know that Samuel went into the house of Jesse. You know that Samuel reviewed all the children. And he saw a good-looking Latin boy, well, standing like this. And God said, it's not that one. It's not that one. Because Samuel was a human being. And he said, oh, Israel want a king? All right, I'm going to choose a guy with his tall shoulders. No, no, no. It's this tiny little thing over there. You know the name of that tiny little thing? The giant David. And it was Samuel who ordained and put the oil on David. And he said, today you will reign over the house of Israel. See, the Supreme Court have absolute authority over the land. But the Supreme Court was under God. And Israel prospered. Now, what about this woman, Adaliah? What kind of woman was she? Well, three things about her. Go to page 365, 2 Chronicles 22. And let me say three quick things about her. Number one, she was the mother of a king. 2 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 1 and 2. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem, I'm reading 2 Chronicles 22, verse 1, page 365. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem made Ahaziah, his youngest son, king, in his stead, for the band of the men that came with the Arabians to the camp had slain all the elders. So Ahaziah, the son of Jeroboam, king of Judah, reigned. 42 years old was Ahaziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Athaliah, the daughter of Omri. Athaliah. Remember that name, ladies. Athaliah was the mother of a king. Now, she was the mother of a king. Now, Hannah was the mother of a tiny boy, was nothing. But Athaliah is the mother of a king. And you know the book of Nehemiah is that the mother of the king always sits on the left side of the king on the proceedings of ruling. And the king always will ask the mother, what should I do, mother, into this? All right? That's how England used to have the system. And now look, she taught. What an opportunity for a mother. Here is a king who's going to rule his country. Imagine a mother was a believer when the king said, mother, what do I do about this? And she opened the Bible and said, son, here's what the Bible said. Imagine the influence a mother will have. Not this one. She taught her son to do weekly. Look at verse 3. He also, this king Ahaziah also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab. You know, Ahab was the worst king in Israel, married to the worst woman you can be married, Jezebel. For his mother, look at verse 3, his mother was his counselor. I told you, that's the way it works. To do evil. You see that? Mama will sit at the left, the wife of the king on the right. When the issue is presented in the proceedings of the king, he turned to Mama and said, Mama, what I do with the life of these people? Kill them. She ordained to kill all the inheritance. Kill them. And she did. As you read the history, only one person was saved. The king David honored. And his name was Mephibosheth, but his legs were cut. She taught her son to do evil. Now, remember Hannah? She taught her son to be with God. And what Hannah saw the coronation of her son as the supreme judge of Israel. The most glorious position a man could have in the land of Israel. Now, what did these women saw? Well, you want to know? He saw the death of his son. Chapter 22, verse 4 to 10. Wherefore he did evil. If a mama teach evil, he did evil. For 2 Chronicles 22, 4. In the sight of the Lord like the house of Ahab. For they were his counselors after the death of his father to his destruction. Verse 5, he walked also after their counsel and went with Jehoram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, to war against Hazael, king of Syria, and Ramoth Gilead. And the Syrians smote Joram. And he returned to be healed in just real because of the wounds which were given him in Ramah when he fought with Hazael, king of Syria. And Azariah, the son of Joram, king of Judah, went down to see Jeroboam, the son of Ahab, at Jezreel, because he was sick. And the destruction of Ahaziah was of God by coming to Joram. For when he was come, he went out with Joram against Jehu, the son of Nimshi, who the Lord had anointed to cut off the house of Ahab. And it came to pass that when Jehu was executing judgment upon the household of Ahab and found the princes of Judah and the sons of the brethren of Ahaziah that ministered to Ahaziah, he slew them. And he sought Ahaziah, verse 9, and they caught him, for he was hid in Samaria, and brought him to Jehu. And when they had slain him, they buried him, because, said they, he is the son of Jehoshaphat, who sought the Lord with all his heart. So the house of Ahaziah had no power over him. You know, even the mercy of God, his grandfather was a great man. And Jehu, captain of the army, said, now, don't bury him outside the city. Put him in the city because of his grandfather who believed in God. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what brings blessing in the nations of the world? What brings prosperity in the nations of the world? What brings tranquility and peace in the nations of the world? It's not an arrangement between two men. It's obedience to God. Obedience to God. And what makes a man to stand strong in the presence of other men? A mother. A mother. And what makes a man to really be evil? A mother. So the conclusion is found in Proverbs 31. If you look in the last chapter of Proverbs, the Bible tells you what's the conclusion about learning to be a mother. In Proverbs 31, verse 30, the Bible says, favor, page 505. Favor is deceitful. Favor in the old King James means good looking, is deceitful. And beauty is vain. But a woman, the fear of the Lord, she shall be praised. Do you see what I see? Some of you mothers, not only are mothers, are also teachers of your own children. Some of you put long hours. I'm very sure that when you go to bed, then you have young husbands and you're exhausted. I'm very sure of that. Can I tell you that your work is not in vain?
Not because I say it, because God say it. We're going to see in our church some of these young boys and young girls, giants in America. Not because they're going to be super intelligent and know political business or whatever. They're going to be giants because mama taught them the Lord. They're going to be giants because mama and papa have raised them in the fear of God. And you know something, mothers? You're going to get a return. If the husband is not gracious enough to say, darling, you are the most gracious woman in raising my family, your children will. Your children will. Always I check my email before closing the day, because I know there is some emergency somewhere in America. And runs, somebody's running away, somebody needs a touch of encouragement. But we got a good email last night. It was from my daughter. She wrote words, you can't believe it, about mama. And how she learned to handle her husband as she watched mama handle this difficult man called Gabriel. I'm very difficult. And she said, by watching you, I have solved a lot of problems in my life. And I have been encouraged. And I hope, she said, that my three girls, by watching me, will be a blessing to their husbands as well. That's all. You don't have to be president of a corporation, CEO, all the big things. No. Mama, what you want is your children to love the Lord. The rest, just a pancake. You see what I mean? The women that fear God have more power than President Clinton. Why? Because she can raise the next president that can bring us back to God. Listen, we need to be back to God. Mothers, we need children who fear God. Thank you for doing the job. Thank you, Father, that in our church, we have such a beautiful group of mothers who understand God. And because they fear you, they are raising their family with power. And I know, Father, one day I will die, but one of these, my children in this church, perhaps will be used to raise America back to you. Oh God, use these mothers with a mighty grace from above. And Father, if it's here a mother or a father who doesn't know you, the same grace that you gave to Samuel to become what he was can be bestowed upon someone. And so my words is, come to Jesus, and he will do the rest. Oh, bless us, and see in families united by the mighty power of God. And when all is done, we're going to give you the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Before I took a breath, before I took a step, unnumbered prayers were spoken, spoken just for me. And as I rested peacefully, there in my mother's arms, she dreamed of what tomorrow would bring and what my future could be. She watched me as each tiny step grew stronger. She guided thee through choices I could make. And then I didn't know the road that I would walk. Her prayers would always light the path I take. Her hands reached down to lift me when I'd fallen. Her arms would hold me when I felt afraid. Her eyes could see right through the dark and stormy clouds and point me to a brighter day. Her steps would set a path that I could follow. Her words of hope my broken dreams could mend. Her heart of love would always show me Jesus. But it was her life that led me to him. My childhood days are gone, and time keeps moving on. It seems as though the months, the years, quickly slip away. The life of faith she offered, examples of God's grace, is the life I long to share with my children today. Dark and stormy clouds and point me to a brighter day. Her steps still set a path that I can follow. Her words of hope my broken dreams still mend. Her heart of love still always shows.
Heavenly Father, we pray that today's meditation about the godly women and the ungodly women will put a fear in our heart. A mother is the most important part of the family. She molds the child. She makes that child. Father, I pray that each mother in the auditorium today and each mother there in the radio audience will do what Hannah did. They give the child back to you. And Father, we don't have to go to Shiloh today and give the child away. We can pray and give that child away. We can teach that child the principles of God. We can move that child
in the fear and admonition of God. Oh, Father, bless us. Bless us. Let us have a church that shines because of my love. In Jesus, I pray, and when all is done, we're going to be careful to give you, O Father, the glory and the honor in Jesus Christ. Amen.